Heather Sharone is on the line. She is the managing editor at The Daily Line, which covers all things Chicago, Cook County, Springfield politics. You can get their newsletter every morning. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Always happy to be here.
So today you guys launched the Lens on Lightfoot. I want to start there because this is something that you're getting together with a bunch of different organizations in Chicago to spend some time looking at the first year of the Lightfoot administration. So where'd this idea come from?
Well, it really started back in the mayoral elections, which seemed like they were approximately a decade ago, but were less than a year ago, where the Daily Line, the Better Government Association, the Chicago Reporter, Black Club Chicago, and Chalkbeat Chicago, along with some other organizations, joined forces to cover the elections and sort of leverage all of our resources to work together and really sort of embracing the spirit of cooperation as opposed to competition. And we thought, gosh, that was a lot of fun, and I think it really served the city well during the election. So we said, well, what can we do next? And we really decided that we would take a close look at whether or not Mayor Lori Lightfoot is living up to her campaign promises during her first year in office. Hmm. And that is what we launched today, because if you can believe it, she has been in office for exactly 6 months today.
Wow. It's hard to believe. I mean, it feels like you said she's been here for a decade, but at the same time, it feels like the inauguration was just a month ago. All right, so your first piece is about aldermanic prerogative, and we talked about this on the program. We talked about it in the campaign everywhere, and we all witnessed the big signing that said, "I am ending the executive order that says, I am ending aldermanic prerogative." But your article today looks at how that's played out over the past 6 months.
Right. And the conclusion is that it's very much a work in progress, because this is a decades old unwritten rule that basically where all of the aldermen agree to defer to whatever the alderman of that ward thinks. So, for example, in the 41st ward, there was an apartment development that would have built 300 units right by the Cumberland Blue Line stop. And Alderman Anthony Napolitano of the 41st ward did not like that proposal. He didn't want it. Even though other aldermen thought it was really important to build that sort of housing near train lines and near the expressway so people could get to work, and it would have included 30 units of affordable housing. But the alderman deferred to him, and that was a real big flashpoint over this unwritten rule. So when Mayor Lori Lightfoot started her campaign, this was one of her first promises. And I got to be honest, I don't think a lot of reporters took her very seriously, because this is just the way City Hall has always right. operated. And the sense was it would continue to operate that way into infinity. And we are almost exactly a year away from, or year from, when all that changed, when federal agents descended upon City Hall and raided Alderman Ed Burke's offices. And what we learned eventually was that he would be charged with attempted extortion, of sort of using that prerogative to basically extort, according to the charges, a restaurant owner who wanted to renovate his apartment. He basically said, I'm not going to approve that permit. You need my signature to get that permit unless you hire my private law firm. Now, Ed Burke has pled innocent. He has said he did nothing wrong. But that was really sort of what catapulted Mayor Lightfoot into sort of the top echelon of the campaign. And she really campaigned hard on that being the root of all of the corruption that we see at City Hall.
Yeah.
This is really a fundamental thing that she promised to do once she's in office. And she's had some success, but she hasn't really gotten to the heart of it yet.
Well,
it's very complicated.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, there was a lot after that executive order from aldermen who said, and a lot of people watched City Hall, and we talked about it on the air as well, just that there'd be a mutiny, that she would have, we'd be back in the days of council wars, that people would be against this mayor because she's trying to take away their power. How much did that, the stirring, that chaos, and everything about whether or not we'd be entering into this fractured city council play into the fact that she didn't keep moving and keep, you know, pushing hard for this to take place?
Well, I think a couple of things happened. She's had a very tough first 6 months in office. There's a reason why it feels like a decade in some respects. She had an 11-day teacher strike. She had to close a massive $838 million budget deficit. And oh, by the way, she's got to now find a new police superintendent. So it's really hard to understate how much those issues really sucked up a lot of the oxygen at City Hall. But also, she has not proposed any changes to the zoning code. Now, I think thousands of listeners across Chicagoland just fell asleep instantly when I said the word zoning, because it seems really complicated and boring.
That's
but
funny.
It is not. It basically decides what can be built where. So, for example, on that vacant lot near the Cumberland Blue Line station, the rules called for offices right there. That's what the city said. That's what this is the best use for. So when the developer decided, hey, well, I want to build apartments here, he had to go to the city and ask for a zoning change permission to do that. And that's where aldermanic prerogative comes in. She has not made any attempt to change the city's zoning code, which is a huge, massive undertaking, and that's really where the heart of all this power is. Now, when I sat down with her in her office yesterday for this article, she said she was committed to doing that, but she's also committed to doing it in a thoughtful way that incorporates feedback from aldermen and that isn't sort of some sort of, you know, decree coming down upon high. So that, I think, has muted some of the opposition. But there have certainly been flare-ups over small issues where aldermen have pushed back and said, you can't do that. I get to decide that. And with 26 votes at the city council, they can make that happen.
You know, Heather, I wonder, and you mentioned just about the listeners who might be glossing over at hearing the word zoning, but it does, as much as corruption plays, and it played a big role because of what happened to Alderman Burke during the campaign, how much of there is there a fervor from Chicago residents for her to take on something like the zoning laws or to take power from aldermen? It doesn't necessarily translate to everyone's day-to-day lives.
Right, absolutely. And the other thing that I think has taken the focus off of this issue a little bit is that most of the corruption allegations in recent weeks has been focused on the state capitol and state lawmakers. You know, it's been at least several months since an alderman has been raided by the FBI. So that has, I think, taken that off the front burner, especially when everybody has been really scrambling to figure out how can the city pay its bills next year, facing a deficit that is the better part of $1 billion. Jeez. So that's part of it, too. But I think that everybody expects, as does Mayor Lightfoot, that the FBI agents are coming back, that the corruption investigations are still going on. And in my article, she actually said that she thought some aldermen had thought that the angel of death had passed them by, but she expected that reprieve to be short-lived. And I think that gives you a sense of how sure she is that this is going to be a major, major issue in the months to come.
And all it's going to take is one more, you know, brown paper over the windows at a city hall aldermanic office to get this back on the front burner. Heather Sherrone, the managing editor at the Daily Line, is with us as she is on Wednesdays. Let's talk about the budget. Of course, today it flew through the Finance Committee with flying colors, and we're going to see if it does the same thing next week with the full city council. Heather, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll start with the city budget here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. Heather Sherrone is on the line with us. She is the managing editor of the Daily Line, which you can find at dailyline.net. All right, so let's get into the budget today. This is obviously, everyone's been paying attention to the Chicago budget because there was such a massive hole. And now it seems like even though they didn't get help from Springfield, they got it figured out. Is that where we're at on this? They got it figured out?
More or less. Sort of, kind of, maybe. So they took a series of initial votes today at the full city council that set up the final vote on Tuesday. And I personally would like to thank the aldermen for scheduling this vote on Tuesday before Thanksgiving and not Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which would have made everybody's lives that just much more complicated. But Mayor Lightfoot is confident that it will pass, and she's confident that it is a balanced budget. And today she ruled out any more negotiations, saying the budget is the budget is the budget.
And so the big things that will be taken out of there, because we've seen the fight between her and Uber, which is like turning into WWE Raw. but it seems to me that she said no to their last suggestion to how they could fix what, you know, putting a tax on rideshare. But she said, forget that. It's moving forward and that's done.
Right. So there were five aldermen on the Finance Committee yesterday on Monday, or on Tuesday who said, we don't want this. And they didn't have enough support. There were 20 aldermen who voted for it, which means I think it's pretty much certain to pass next week. But, you know, there are other taxes and fees in there as well. It's going to be more expensive to eat out downtown. You're going to see that that's going to create about $20 million for the city. It's also going to be a little bit more expensive to fire up Netflix and Spotify and Hulu because the city's increasing their cloud tax, which recently withstood a legal challenge. It was first implemented by former Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and Lightfoot is hiking it a little bit. But the, you know, a lot of the attention has been on what's not in this budget. There is not a huge property tax increase that the city is going to impose on property owners. There is a $18 million property tax, which will allow the library's branches to open back up on Sunday that ended back in 2011 under Emanuel. But it's also important to note that back in March, unbeknownst to most of us, even the most eagle-eyed City Hall observer, the City Council agreed to basically issue about $850 million in debt for a variety of projects, including the Police and Fire Training Academy in West Garfield Park that was so controversial. And to pay off that borrowing, the city's going to hike the property tax levy about $33 million. So that is also going to show up on people's bills in the coming year.
Yeah, great.
I have so much good news for you.
I know. And it's, you know, I was, I don't know. I don't know what to think about the rideshare one. I guess I get it with property taxes. I get it with the jacking up the price to watch Hulu. But, you know, the rideshare one, just you get to a certain point where instead of, I don't know, finding a way to get rid of these taxes and little surcharges they've put on the, whether it be the transportation, whether it be cabs, whether it be rideshares, finding out a way to make it more affordable for all of us. But it just seems like they're just deciding to keep raising it to make it unaffordable for all.
And the equity, yeah. I think that's specifically what the mayor wants to do, at least in terms of ride hailing. She wants fewer people to call an Uber leaving from downtown or going to downtown. She wants to make it hurt so that you make other choices, even as simple as calling a shared ride, so Uber Pool or the Lyft shared ride. Or, you know, best case scenario, I think, for the city is that you hop on public transportation, because the idea is that it would reduce congestion downtown, which she says has risen nearly 300% in the last couple of years. So she sees that as a quality of life issue, that this tax can have, you know, kill two birds with one stone. It can raise $40 million for the city. And the finance officials said this week they think that's a conservative estimate, so it may end up being more. But, you know, and it could make it a little bit easier for the rest of us who don't take ride hailing to get around the loop if they're on a bus or even if they just have to go downtown and they have to drive.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to get people to use public transportation, because in the last couple of years, you've seen the CTA fees go up and up and up to the fact that, what is it now, $2.25
for
one way? And they got to a certain point. Yeah. If you were downtown, you got to a certain point where you said, well, I can get in a car and get there a lot faster by using a rideshare and spending a little bit more than if I was waiting for the 36 bus or whatever it is.
Right.
And so I can understand making it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've seen ridership drop significantly on the CTA, and that has all sorts of domino effects, because it means that the transit agency is taking in less money, which means they have less money to keep the trains running on time, which makes it slower, which makes people say, oh, forget it, I'm going to get in an Uber, and it sort of is this, you know, non-virtuous circle of congestion.
Yeah. All right, so the last thing I want to talk about, I guess, would be Alderman Tom Tunney today. And this idea that he wants to extend hours and bring different kind of liquor rules to Gallagher Way, which is essentially Wrigley Field, I thought he was against this. I thought that the whole idea, and I remember reading that it was Ricketts versus Tunney, and it seemed like he was against the idea of adding any more sort of bars and open-air liquor licenses to that neighborhood because it was a neighborhood. But today he seemed to go 180 on that.
Yes, we were all surprised. I think all of our eyebrows shot up in unison in the press box when we heard this introduced, because the Ricketts family, who owns the Cubs, spent literally millions of dollars in an attempt to unseat Alderman Tom Tumme, because he was consistently an opponent of their plans for Wrigley Field. And it was only over his objections that Gallagher Way was created and has, I think, turned into a little bit of an attraction. You know, you can go to near the park, you can hang out, you can drink a beer, and you can watch, you know, the game on that big screen there. And Alderman Tunney said today, look, it's been a successful experiment. They've, you know, lived up to their end of the agreement in terms of making sure that it doesn't create a nuisance for people who do live in the area. And they want to do this, and that seems all right with me. But it is a 180, and we were surprised that there weren't more bad feelings lingering from the election, because it was hard fought. And everybody thought that, you know, it was potentially, you know, Tom Tunney could be in danger because he had such a deep-pocketed opponent against him. But he survived, and perhaps, as, you know, sometimes happens in Chicago politics, people have learned to forgive and forget and, you know, move forward.
It was interesting press conference for him, because, you know, when asked about, are you afraid that this is just going to promote more drunken debauchery on Clark Street, his response was, what's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you remember what Wrigleyville was like 10 years ago or 15 years ago. It was very different than it is now. And I think part of it was the alderman sort of acknowledging that he sort of lost this battle in a way, that it has become sort of not a place where people live so much anymore, but it's a place where people go, have a good time, watch the Cubs lose, and then come home.
you got an eye roll from Pete Zimmerman, our Cubs fan, who's like that.
I couldn't resist. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm speaking from a place of pain and anguish and sadness.
Well, there's something to be said about that. I mean, there's been a fight between, you know, what they want, that the Ricketts want that stadium and that complex to be, almost like Fenway Park in Boston, and what the city has it. And Rahm Emanuel and the Ricketts did not get along, to the point they were pointing fingers and talking trash and at press conferences. Can this be a change in the way that the city deals with the Cubs, that the Cubs are going to get what they want, and it's going to be more of that complex that they've always dreamt of there?
Maybe. We asked the mayor about it today, and she was relatively noncommittal, saying that she, you know, was happy to look at it, but hadn't really formed an opinion on it. I think perhaps the bigger fight is looming. As you said, the Cubs have really wanted it to be like Fenway, where all of the streets around the ballparks are closed on game day. And the Cubs have been asking the city that for months, really, for years, dating back to the 2016 World Series. And if that happens on game days, I think that will really signal a sea change, because the city has stood in the way of that under the Emanuel administration. And if we see that change, I think that's when I will say, there's a new sheriff in town, and this is not how it used to be.
And his name is Ricketts. All right. Heather Chiron, managing editor for the Daily Line. Also, one of the architects of Lens on Lightfoot, which is examining the first year of the Lightfoot administration. You can find that on the newsletter and also on the website. The Daily Line, of course, must read in the morning. Get the newsletter. Heather, thanks for joining us, as always.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Justin.